Welcome to the official podcast of the Next CMO, hosted by Plana, makers of the first AI-driven marketing leadership platform for quickly and easily creating winning marketing plans, maximizing budget impact, and improving ROI. The Next CMO is a thought leadership podcast for those that are CMOs or want to become one. My name is Kelsey Kraft, and I'm the Senior Marketing Manager.
And I'm Peter Mahoney. I'm the founder and CEO of Plana, and welcome to the Next CMO podcast.
This week, we have Allison McLeod, the EVP of Global Marketing at Flywire, as our guest. Allison is a global marketing leader with expertise driving high-velocity inbound and outbound campaigns, building high-performing teams, and a growth accelerator. How's it going, Allison?
Great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you today, Allison. And we were connected to you through our great friend of Plana, Carol Myers. And so we're going to ask you a little bit about your background, but it's amazing how many people connect through the world of Carol Myers, who was former CMO of LogMeIn, of Rapid7, of Unica back in the day, and now a partner at Glasswing Ventures that happens to be one of our investors. But enough about Carol. I'd love to know a little bit about you, Allison. Could you tell us your story and a little bit about you and how you got into this CMO seat?
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for having me again. So I currently lead global marketing at Flywire. Just a little bit about Flywire. We're high growth vertical software and payments company. We're headquartered in Boston, Mass, but we have over 500 Flymates, which we call our employees, across 12 offices around the world. And we're really focused on digitizing payments for key verticals, typically those that are, you know, very complex and often digitally underserved, such as healthcare, travel, education, and B2B. So I've been at Flywire for just about 2 years, getting close to it, which the time has flown and it's been very exciting. And across my team are leading all of our global marketing efforts. One, our go-to-market for our verticals, our global brand, communications, PR strategy. And then to keep it really interesting, we are truly so global. We actually do have a B2B to C model in some of our cross-border in the EDU space. So I've got some amazing marketers in our Asia Pacific region that focus on marketing specifically to Chinese payers.
Oh, great. That has to be
really
interesting.
Cool. Learned a lot in the last 2 years. Previous to Flywire, I spent 7 years at Rapid7. So that is where I got the great fortune of working for Carol for those 7 years. And I spent the majority of my career there leading our demand generation, growth marketing, and business development team, which was really exciting to just to grow from small startup into very successful public company in the cybersecurity space. I've really been a lifelong marketer. I felt like early on I knew that I wanted to be a marketer and I wanted to be
How early? Tell us. Was this from grade school? Freshman year of college. Okay.
Freshman year of college, which I actually think is early.
That is very early.
I really want to be a marketing leader. But it's something that I've focused my career around. And the few times I thought, should I try something else? There's just something that draws me back to it. And I love the intersection of all the different teams that you work with within a company, and even that external piece with really understanding your customers, your prospects, the industry landscape. So to me, that keeps it really exciting and challenging. So yeah, that's pretty much how I got to where I am today.
Great. And you made, of course, a big leap a couple of years ago, and it was really your first full time you had the steering wheel for the whole marketing function. And in doing that at a company of some serious heft is pretty impressive. So congratulations for making that leap. We've got a lot of CMOs in our listener community, but a lot of aspiring CMOs, and they'd love to know, how did you make that leap? Because that's a big one.
I would say a couple of things. I think one is I really believe, and I'm looking back, like my experience at Rapid7 and Forrester and others really set me up to be able to be successful in this role. Because while I focused on a large portion of marketing wasn't the whole thing. I saw scale and I experienced scale and the building of teams and working across different departments and focusing on revenue and driving at clients and prospects. And while, yes, you could certainly leave your post where you are and go get on paper a bigger title, you often don't get the breadth of experience. So I think that was such a great learning experience for me. But that's still, that desire was always there to say, hey, I want my hand at all of this. Our CEO, Mike Massaro, had reached out to me a couple of times, and I was very happy in my role where I wasn't looking for a move. But hearing the overall story of Flywire and the growth trajectory and the mission and where the company was going, and then after meeting the board and the exec team and the rest of the company, I was hooked. So that got me here. I think as well, for someone looking for that leap, I think it's really important to understand the company that you're going to, what are they looking for in a head of marketing? Because oftentimes, if there's many marketers, CMOs, aspiring CMOs, recovering CMOs, whatever you want to call it, listening to this, oftentimes the head of marketing role is looked at to be the expert in so many different areas. And it's just not possible to be the expert and the best at demand gen and brand and communications and PR and analytics and product marketing. So I think there's always a lean to your strength. My lean and my strength is demand gen. That's where I grew up. That's where I came from. But I do have the ability to build really amazing teams and bring on amazing people, as every leader should. And I think that's a key piece of it, is one, understanding what is the key need that you're filling going into that seat. Does that set you up well for success? And then two, do you have the right resources, the right team to make that successful?
I have a theory about your superpower. I think, so looking at your background, thanks to LinkedIn, this is all very public, I can see everything back to what you've admitted to anyway, back from UMass Amherst, which is great. We have my co-founder and CMO is a UMass Amherst guy and a few decades before you probably. But here's what I think your superpower is. First of all, you cut your teeth in product marketing. And you have a degree in communications, which means you're a words person and you're word and positioning person at your core. And then you took that and you had a series of ever increasing roles and responsibility related to growth. And I think that combination of being able to understand positioning and words, which are the center of everything that we do in marketing, and leverage that into increasing responsibilities and proven growth, combined with what I've just heard you talk about around growing teams, those are really critical skills to have. So that's great.
Well, thank you for saying that. You are, and I think I'm going to take notes of that. You just helped me with my own little brand story there. But yeah, I do think a lot of that is true, is the ability to try different areas in marketing. And those were all at different sizes, types of companies, but that definitely didn't have me walking in completely not knowing what I was getting into. It's just, I agree. I think you just typically, you have a leaner super strength in areas over others.
Yeah, that's great. So set the table a little more for us around Flywire, and just so we can understand the context, because we're going to ask you some questions about your marketing and your strategy to help us understand how you've applied some of your experience in now the real world of a very fast growing company. So what is Flywire? What do you mean by payments? And what are the verticals that you focus on that you briefly touched on?
Yeah. So if we think about vertical software and payments, and what we look at is we really stay close to that payment, right? So let's take one of the verticals we focus on, for example, education, which is where we had actually our roots are and started. Our founder was an international student himself, studying abroad and trying to make a cross-border payment to the US. And those are inherently complex. They're not transparent. Money is often lost. It arrives short or over by amount of dollars. And the last thing we want when we think of the mission that we're on is that someone can't start their semester, get into their dorm, continue their studies because their payment was short. So we really do focus on digitizing payments. And if you think about payments overall, right, like the digitization of payments is certainly inevitable. If we look at retail e-commerce, it's already happened. Think of how easy it is for us to buy, sell online for retail e-commerce. But then you think of these everyday, large, complex verticals that as people we all are in. You just mentioned, you know, you've got children in college, right? The pain of paying tuition. So tuition payments, healthcare payments, taking that travel trip of a lifetime. These are inherently complex. And not only are they complex for the person paying them, they're really complex for the client. So clients who are trying to run their university or their luxury heliskiing company or their hospital, they don't want to be in the payments business. They want to ensure that they're taking that payment and it's reconciled and it's embedded in all their systems, but they don't want to deal with the complexity. Flywire really helps to take that away through our global payments platform, our network, and our vertically specific software. So at the crux of it, if we think in really simplified terms, we help payers pay, payers and businesses pay, and we help our clients get paid.
Have you seen a growing need for digital payment processing during this major pandemic that we're all in?
There definitely has been. If we think of the world that we're in, and let's take healthcare for an example, with the rise of what was always typically an in-person visit, telehealth. So even for ourselves and for Flywire, the ability to spin up new products such as secure checkout and ensure that for all those telehealth visits that you know payments can go through and hospitals have the ability to offer that. Even in education space, that traditional bank payment, say in India, where a student might go to their bank to make that wire transfer, right? People don't want to be in public places. Many of these places are closed. The ability to do things online easily, conveniently, track it the entire way through. There's certainly more demand and growth. And even one of the cool things that Flywire is part of and really amazing is giving back. We got a call, our COO from the Boston Foundation back in March with the need of, we need to get PPE from China to hospitals in Boston, but we don't have the ability to get payment there. So using our rails, our network, our payment platform, we were able to move over $3 million from a supplier in China to get the PPE needed, working with Citibank, which was pretty amazing. So there's certainly a demand for it. And I think a lot of what we see with COVID is there's only going to be more. And it's inevitable. I don't think a lot of these sectors will get a pass anymore with mail in your check, send the wire transfer as consumers, as all of us, whether you're a consumer for your own personal or you're a business trying to pay another business, you want that experience to be frictionless and you want it to be as easy to pay as easy it is to buy.
So that's interesting. And the examples you brought up were primarily international funds related. Mm-hmm. But I assume there's also a domestic transfer element. In fact, is that the majority of the business is domestic payments, but you have to, of course, handle global payments at the same time?
So we do have quite a large offering for domestic payments as well. So if you look at our healthcare space, we work predominantly with domestic payments in the US. Overall, just our landscape, we work with four of the top 10 hospitals in the U.S. And then even recently, I just saw, so 30% of U.S. households actually use Flywire for their medical payments, which is pretty amazing. So we are handling those. And then on the education side as well, we do have a number of different offerings for domestic payments. So if you're an institution, college, higher ed, right, we have the software that enables you to help drive affordability with your students. So if we even think of the traditional tuition payments, those are what, once, twice a year, you've done a couple of them, right? Those are big chunks and often like the, We also know with this year, college is, it's becoming less affordable, right? For many students, with people losing their jobs, with parents losing their jobs, it's becoming a hard thing to afford college. Universities now with our software have the ability to offer payment plans, offer different types of installments so they can ensure that students can better afford college. So those are also some of the offerings that we have too.
Yeah, that's really interesting because you get to the point where payments are actually part of the product offer all of a sudden, where In the past, I think you often think about the money part as that icky part that no one wants to really deal with. And especially as the payer, you never want to part with your money. But obviously, if you can create a valuable offer, including maybe deferring payment, spreading out over time, whatever it is, offering payment terms, offering credits, things like that, that can be a great way to actually enhance the value of your core offer if you're clever about the way you integrate your payments capability. So that's great.
Exactly.
So you have a vertical strategy, obviously, because you sell to verticals. So I know you've got healthcare, education, and travel. And then you said your website says business. That must be the other.
Yeah, B2B, if we look at travel and B2B, certainly our emerging verticals where we're focused on business payments.
And in across those verticals, and we can put aside, you said you got a D2C element that it's, I'm sure, a little bit different. But across those verticals, is the buyer the same or does that vary?
It varies a bit, right? So if we look at education, typically we are working with if it's our cross-border products, the International Student Office or the Bursar's Office, Financial Aid, Head of Finance. In hospitals, we're typically working with the CFOs or head of rev cycles. And travel, I think it really depends on the size of company, right? Like we have a great niche market in our adventure and luxury travel. We're often working with the tour operators, owners and tour operators. But then also some of our larger clients in the travel space would be working with the chief accounting officer, CFO, Same in the B2B space. So certainly more of that, the finance lens and the finance office across. But I would say those personas do vary because the need, right? The need across those verticals do vary for what they need. So we certainly do not apply the same go-to-market strategy across them all. They all have a bit of a different flavor to them.
So how much does your marketing strategy vary across these different verticals? Because obviously healthcare and travel are two very different industries.
So I would say if we think of just high level marketing strategy, I would say travel and B2B, I'd say digital first, but what isn't digital first these days? Everything's digital these days, but it's definitely, you can liken it more to that SaaS sale. A lot comes in by way of inbound through people coming to the site, finding us, requesting a demo, getting qualified through sales, and up they go, right? Where education and healthcare, that's certainly a longer cycle. These are large, complex systems, universities, healthcare systems, which often have multiple locations. So that's certainly what you think of more of your traditional enterprise sales. So we have much more, I would say, if we even look domestically, US, where we offer both the domestic offerings plus cross-border offerings, much more of an account-based marketing strategy where we know exactly who we're going after and the types of clients that we're going after. And then I would say outside of world, right, in different companies where it is more greenfield and we're expanding, we're definitely driving that top-end inbound brand awareness type of strategy as well. Keeps it very interesting. I feel like I work at four different places every day, but that's why I love it.
Yeah, I can imagine that it's interesting. In fact, we were talking before, I spent time at Nuance as the CMO, and we had about 30 different business lines with lots of different kinds of business models, target customers. And it was a lot of fun for what sounds like some of the same reasons that it's interesting for you all. And for me, I really liked it because you had this opportunity to really explore all these different kind of go-to-market motions. And in my job as the CMO was often the coach and cheerleader for different marketing teams to help them figure out what kind of strategies they should use, because of course they're going to vary quite a bit if you're dealing with, because I imagine in travel, as an example, while there might be some big clients, if you literally have the luxury heliskiing company, which sounds amazing. I don't know where I sign up, but that's got to be a small business sale. Is there a small business element to, as well as dealing, do you also have a relationship with maybe a channel like a Kayak or something like that? Would they be a channel or a big travel services firm? How does that all work?
Yeah, we certainly do work with the booking platforms as well and different providers. So we have some of the large travel clients, the Expedias, TripAdvisors, And then we do work with a lot of luxury providers, Elite Haven, some of these really amazing, very exclusive. There was one who Oprah just vacationed at where they are smaller. So I would say that's where we, even if we look at that marketing strategy, right, a lot of that is very focused on digital. And if we think of those that are in the space, they don't want to be a payments business. They want, don't want to deal with the payments business. They want to be able to provide amazing experiences for their guests. And that's where Flywire takes a lot of that pain and complexity away and handles that piece of it for them.
I tell you, I've taken a few interesting vacations in my past, and I don't think in any case they were Flywire customers, because it was scary sending large sums of money to someone who is at the other end of an email. We did this, went to Iceland last year for a week. Probably the biggest, scariest one was going to the Galapagos, which is one of those trips of a lifetime, but a lot of money. And you send these huge wads of cash and you just hope that someone's on the other end. It is a little frightening.
And that's like exactly what we solve for, because likely the places you went were amazing experiences, but they are not payments experts, nor should they be, but they're dealing with very large payments. And it's someone saying, yeah, I want to book this whole thing on my credit card. And you're just saying, I'm hoping this is legitimate. It's going to the other side. And that's exactly what we're in the business of solving.
So let's talk about how now we solve some of this interesting set of challenges with your marketing team. So if you have this diversity and go to market, how have you organized and structured your marketing team to try to go after these different kinds of customer types?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. So when I started at Flywire, it's not that there had been no marketing in the past, but marketing was certainly more of a support function of a, hey, sales dictates what we do. And that's typically, we do a lot of events. So we had a few people focused on events. We need collaterals. We had people focused on design and collateral. In some PR, there was no notion of demand gen or measuring or really understanding what the return is or getting very crisp and focused on the verticals. So the way that we have structured it is that we have our vertical marketing expertise. So you can think of those as like vertical go-to-market plus product marketing. They're really focused on the market landscape, competitive landscape. Who are we building, selling, creating value for across our prospect and customer base, working very closely with sales on enabling the messaging, the positioning of that vertical, the offerings. And then we have our cross-functional teams that support all verticals. So our demand gen and performance marketing team. So you could think of that of the marketing ops wizards with Marketo and Salesforce, our campaigns, our webinars, our experience strategy with events, email, basically all the digital channels as well. Then our creative services team, that's our video, our design, offline and online, our website. And then our content PR and communications team, so all of our social strategy PR. And then we have our field team, which that's really focused on right now, our B2C play in Asia Pacific. But really those cross-functional teams support all. And then the way we've designed it was, I wanted to be very careful that we didn't have these silos of teams and verticals, that we are one marketing team and we are still one brand at the top of it, or Flywire, so that we stayed consistent. We stayed really aligned to what the goals are of marketing. So we go to market in squads. So we have squads for each of the vertical. So yes, there are some people like our head of comms. Yes, she is across all, right? But she spends a good majority of her time on the corporate brand, a larger percentage on education, because just in terms of the vertical sizes as well. But that's how we do it, is we make sure that there's a lot of consistency and collaboration across the different teams. So we call them our mighty marketing squads. And that's been a really wonderful change this year, because it's kept people very aligned and in sync on what the priorities are.
That's great. So you've got, it sounds like there's a bit of a matrix where you've got this vertical orientation around the businesses. And I assume you probably run a P&L for those businesses internally. So you look at the profitability of those things. And then you've got deep functional experts, like a comms expert, as an example, who may have a specialty in education for something like that, but they have to cover them all. And if you're a Marketo and Salesforce expert, you're going to be a Marketo and expert, a Salesforce expert across your verticals.
Yeah.
And so how do you think about, when you look at, well, what's the ROI of my campaign? that's a complex process, right? So how do you figure out if you're going to do a big, broad thematic campaign in the healthcare industry, how do you try to measure that?
This is always the crux of the marketing challenge. But we try to ensure that everything rolls up to two key themes, right? Of what we say, what are we really trying to do? And that's to tell our story internally and externally and to drive revenue. So we do look at those top line metrics in terms of if we're driving a broad campaign in healthcare mainstream media, how are we doing with reaching those right outlets? How are we doing with driving our web traffic to the certain content we're writing? And then we do take a very critical look at how is this converting throughout the funnel? So by way of leads, by inquiries, by demo requests, if there's components of it that are webinars or event led, how are we doing with either driving velocity to the pipeline or actually turning those into direct opportunities from the marketing activity? We look, it's funny because particularly for education and healthcare, I still have this like old habit that I just can't let go of refreshing my Salesforce dashboard. Everyone on my team makes fun of me for it all day, every day, as if it's going to keep changing. Right? Some of these deal cycles are longer and it does take a long time. So we even look at those digital journeys of where did we first uncover this person? How have they worked through marketing, through the different marketing channels, and how successful were they? So we take a pretty hard look at all of that and even what's the percentage of pipeline we're driving by vertical that's driven by marketing versus sales. How do we help supplement that? Because I definitely want to be in that business of in partnership with sales and ensuring that we help to offset that pipeline and in some cases, the air cover, right, across education and healthcare where the deal cycles are longer. We have to keep them warm. So yes, we know that webinar might not be the thing that's going to directly turn it into an opportunity, but it's going to keep them engaged throughout the process. So we're looking at all of that. Wherein I would say travel B2B, where there is a shorter sales cycle, we're certainly looking more at those conversion metrics of what are we driving to the website or to the event or to the webinar? How are those converting to qualified leads, then to opportunities, then to close deals and revenue?
Yeah, that all sounds very familiar from my time working with some of the diversity there. And you're looking at it really the right way. It sounds like you're looking at it quite holistically, which is important, that a lot of people don't especially do. But ultimately, what we all want as marketers is the ability to say that I know if you give me another N dollars, you're going to get N times M dollars out.
Yes.
And so the closer we get to being able to prove that, and of course, it's a complex cocktail, because as you highlight, it's not just the direct demand generation, it's the whole machinery that's involved doing that. It is the air cover of the visibility that's going to soften the target so that people are going to convert more and more quickly, et cetera. So all those things have to be considered.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting too is I think oftentimes where it gets tricky with even within marketing teams or sales teams is you might have someone say in a creative role that doesn't really feel tied to what am I doing that's tying to revenue? That's something that we've really, really tried to address when I look at, hey, here are the goals and like everything when we talk about the mission of who we are, what are we trying to do? I have this graphic with two bubbles on it. Like we do so many things, but it rolls up to two main areas, telling the story and driving revenue. And that's how I try to make sure that people are prioritizing and focusing on the right things and aligning well across the business.
That's great.
Speaking of goals, I'd love to hear as a marketer myself, what is one of the successful campaigns that you've run that rolled up to one of your top line goals and how did you measure that success?
Ooh, that's a good one. Let's see. So actually in our travel space, so of course, I don't think it's any secret that COVID has been not so kind to the travel sector, correct? That all of us cannot travel right now. I think a couple of things that we did is we took, I would say all of our verticals were impacted, but we took a hard line initially and said, if we're not proving value, we need to move out of the way. The last thing these travel companies needs is saying, do you need a payment service provider? Now's the time to hop on. Like we wanted to make sure that we were staying close to the customers and giving them what they need. So we started first with we'd love to just feature some of our amazing clients and what you do. And do a client spotlight on you from these really remote and luxurious places in Canada to France to wineries, just doing a blog post to feature the clients, the offerings that they have, the once in a lifetime travel opportunities. So they had pictures, images, and say, what are you looking forward to once the world returns to normal? And they were incredibly successful. One, not only did it was a good mini marketing platform for our clients to show off their amazing resorts and offerings, but also helped driving referrals, which is great. And then that spun into an idea that I will not take any credit for this because it's completely my team, to talk about like, how do we make sure that we're creating really useful content for the travel sector? And we came out with this first bouncing back report where we surveyed a number of different, both on the consumer side, business side, in key geographic regions to talk about the state of travel, what's coming next. Whereas part of that was a playbook, a webinar, different types of content that we rolled out to say, hey, here's the state of the state. That was back in June. And that was incredibly successful just in terms of the interest we had across clients and prospects. And we just rolled out another one yesterday, actually, bouncing back too. And this was more of the, we rolled out like a specific playbook for not only what does the future hold, but actually enabling content and tips and tricks. So if you're a travel provider, here's a social media kit and tips that you should be doing to drive your strategy. Here's what to think about from a legal perspective, travel insurance perspective, as we think about going forward and when travel starts to pick up again. And I know yesterday we had upwards of 1,000 registrants for the webinar that we did yesterday and many people looking at that playbook. And you know, that one is early, but our first bouncing back certainly resulted in a great amount of awareness, but also leads, opportunities in deals. So that was one that everyone was super proud of and great cross collaboration effort across the team.
I love the idea of really leaning in and featuring your customers and your marketing. And just the idea of mutual self-interest is really interesting to me. I think it works. It makes everyone happy. It's a rising tide kind of thing. And of course, it really starts to cement that relationship that you have with your customer. And it's great that you also have the opportunity to start to think about the measurement, the impact of that very directly around referrals, because most marketers understand that referral business is some of the best, fastest moving business in your pipeline you can get, because if you have that kind of validation from someone you trust, it's much more likely to actually convert into something interesting. So what are the things, if you can think of any, that every CMO should be doing today, but not enough of them are doing?
I can't underscore enough the value of marketing internally. And often I feel like that's left last because marketers, marketing teams are so busy with working with sales or working with clients or doing events or doing all these great things, but they don't often stop to tell people what exactly they're doing. I think that's something that needs to be that constant drumbeat of here's what the marketing team mission is, here's what we're doing, here's how we're performing against our goals. Easier said than done, but it's like the cobbler's kids. But you want to make sure that people really understand the value that the marketing team is bringing. Otherwise, you're leaving that up to interpretation. The most important thing is internally making sure that the team is recognized and that people really understand what you're focused on.
That's fantastic. That's great advice. And I agree, not enough people are doing it, except all those Planet customers, by the way, who get it. That is just part of what we do. So that,
I love that plug.
Exactly. Thank you. We try to do that every once in a while. Plugs. Tell me how people can learn more about Flywire.
Oh, yes. You can definitely visit our website, flywire.com, to learn more about us. We are on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, a really fun Instagram handle that follows a lot of our travel customers, but also shows off our really amazing global culture. That's definitely been a hard part this year of not being able to see everyone in person, but we've got over 32 nationalities within Flywire, so it is truly global and makes it a very special and unique place to be.
That's great. Thank you very much. And for the info, we will put some links in our show description to the website and to your social media handle so people can follow you. I'm sure it sounds fascinating and I encourage people to do that. And I know that we have among our audience some people who are in your industries. So certainly I'd encourage them to check out Flywire, which would be great. And Kelsey, I think we have one more question.
Yes. Allison, what advice would you give to aspiring CMOs or those that are currently CMOs?
I would say ask for help and lean on your network. I learned so much by just talking to other CMOs, other marketing leaders. I love having the ability to just reach out to other people to say, hey, what are you doing here? What do you think of this? Often the CMO role, being in this role in particular for 2 years, there's a lot that you're juggling with. There's a lot that you're managing. There are things that are changing, and everyone's role has for sure changed this year. But if we think of the evolution of marketing in particular, from going from, now I know we started this year with over 100 events planned, right? This digital transformation is happening before everyone's eyes. So I would say definitely lean on your network and make sure that you've got a solid group of peers and others that you can ask for advice.
Great. Well, I'm sure you call Carol Myers every once in a while for some of that advice. Exactly.
I email her quite a bit.
Excellent. Thank you so much. That's a great advice to any CMO, regardless of their depth of experience. And I really appreciate your time. So Kelsey, I think we're ready to take it out, right?
Yep. Thank you so much for your time, Allison. Great learning about you and Flyer. Make sure to follow the Next CMO and Plana on Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you have any ideas for topics or guests, you can visit our website or email them to thenextcmo@plana.com. Stay tuned for the next community launching soon, and have a great day, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.